This isn't my regular format, but I wanted to do a quick video today to recap the documentary Lover, Stalker, Killer on Netflix, which is the case of Liz Goliar and Carrie Farber. You might already know the story, but I didn't, so I thought I would do a short retelling for people like me. It's a super interesting case. One might even say downright outrageous. In 2000, truck stop mechanic Dave Krupa met his girlfriend Amy at work. They had two kids together, but worked opposite hours and didn't see each other a lot. So they grew apart and broke up. She wanted to move to Omaha, Nebraska and take the kids with her, so he moved there too. So in 2012, Dave was newly single in a new town, wild and free at 35 years old. He joined the dating site Plenty of Fish, looking for fun. A few days in, he got a message from 34-year-old Liz Goliar, who owned a cleaning company and loved animals. They both liked sci-fi, action movies, motorcycles, and heavy metal, so it seemed like a good match. He made it clear from the very beginning, literally the first date, that he wanted something casual. It was nice having someone around when he wanted to hang out, though, and Liz was fun and energetic. Then one day, 37-year-old Carrie Farber came to the shop where he was a mechanic, and they had a momentary flirtation, but neither of them made a move. But a couple of weeks later, he saw her on Plenty of Fish and sent a message. They went out and had a great time, and he said she was out of his league, so he was floored when she came back to his place that night. But just as they were getting settled in, Liz rang the doorbell and needed something from his apartment. So Carrie left and Liz came in, strangers passing in the hallway. They maybe made eye contact for all of 3 seconds. Later, when Liz left, Carrie called and invited Dave to come over to her place right then, that same night. She told him she just wanted something casual, which was perfect for him. For the next 2 weeks, they spent a ton of time together. They got along great, no strings attached. But then one day, Carrie texted that she wanted to move in together. Dave texted back a polite, no thanks, not what I'm looking for sort of text, and then suddenly his phone blew up. Carrie began texting that he ruined her life. She never wanted to see him again. He's a bastard. Just a barrage. Then it was quiet for a couple of days, and then it would start up again, meaner and more threatening as time went on. Around this time, Carrie's mom couldn't get a hold of her, and I mean, Carrie was an independent person, but it still bothered her mom that she couldn't reach her daughter. So she filed a missing persons report, and the police, of course, came to talk to Dave. He showed them the harassing text messages from Carrie, and they realized there had been a bad breakup and left him alone. Then Carrie messaged her mom on Facebook that she needed time and didn't want to come home. The messages were nice at first, but then devolved and got nastier. Soon, Liz came to Dave's apartment and showed him that her car had been keyed deeply. Text messages from Carrie said that she would do more if Liz didn't leave Dave alone. Her messages to Dave made it clear that she was watching him, at home and at work. They came from all different phone numbers and email addresses, sometimes 125 or more a day. He couldn't block them fast enough. He reported the stalking behavior to the police, but they couldn't find Carrie. One day, Carrie texted Dave a photo from inside Liz's house, saying Liz had left the garage door open. When Dave arrived, he found that Carrie had keyed Liz's car in the garage and spray-painted the word whore on her wall. Dave, being a kind guy, felt like Liz had only become a victim because of him, and he wanted to protect her. Their relationship grew. Liz called Dave at work one day and told him that one of his apartment windows had been smashed. When he got home, he found "Go away, whore" written in red lipstick above his bed. Some of Liz's clothes had been laid out on the bed and slashed with a knife. It felt way too symbolic. This behavior from Carrie had been going on for over a year now, and Dave felt like paranoia had taken over his life. He felt like he was on the road to having a mental breakdown. And the police still couldn't find Carrie. So then Carrie texted that she set Liz's house on fire. Dave rushed over and comforted Liz as she cried outside her burned house. All of her pets had died inside, her cats and dogs and her snake. Liz decided to move but wouldn't tell Dave her address so Carrie couldn't find her. Dave understood but also felt like he lost the one person who understood what he was going through. He also moved and got a new number. The search for Carrie had gone cold, so another local sheriff's department started looking into the case. Carrie had left her bipolar medication behind wherever she disappeared to, so they thought she might be having a mental health crisis. But while she had told her mom she was moving, all of her things were left behind in her apartment. That seemed weird. Meanwhile, it had been a while since Dave had been out with anyone, and he wanted to move on. He He got onto another dating site, and he was excited about a new woman he met. But on the night of their first date, he waited and waited and waited. The woman never showed up. And then she finally texted and said, "This is Carrie, f*** you." He had accidentally let Carrie back into his life. And now she was also texting Dave's ex, Amy, the mother of his children. She was threatening Amy and the kids. Dave's dad bought him a handgun. So the sheriff's department looking into the case called in an IT guy to try a new angle, digital forensics. He pored over hundreds of thousands of emails and texts from Carrie to Dave over 2 years. The sender was usually using VPNs and proxies to hide their IP address, but they didn't always. There was one real IP address that kept popping up over and over, and unbelievably, it belonged to a man who actually worked at the sheriff's department. But it turns out it wasn't the guy who had been sending the messages to Dave. It turns out that he had someone living with him. His on-again, off-again girlfriend had moved in after her house was burned down. Liz Golier. Liz had been impersonating Carrie since the moment Carrie went missing. Liz had been sending all of the messages to herself and to Dave. Carrie had never done the car keying or the house burning or the window smashing. It was always Liz. Now, Liz had allowed the police to download the contents of her phone after Carrie went missing in an attempt to help catch her. The sheriff's department realized the original investigators had missed a picture of Carrie's vehicle taken on Liz's phone. That was suspicious. They had Carrie's vehicle, so they fingerprinted the entire thing, and they found one of Liz's fingerprints inside. They were getting somewhere. So they installed a GPS tracker on Liz's vehicle and found she was driving circles around Amy's house on a daily basis. At the same time, Dave noticed his gun was missing. And then on cue, Liz called 911 and said she'd been shot in the leg in a park. She said she knew the shooter was a woman, and she suspected it was Dave's ex, Amy. The sheriffs, of course, suspected that Liz shot herself and was trying to set up Amy. So they asked Liz to help them catch Amy. Liz, thinking she was so clever, started writing emails that she pretended were from Amy. Writing as Amy, she admitted to the shooting of Liz. Seeing that they were onto something, the sheriffs told Dave to move in with Amy to draw some emotion from Liz, and you know that worked. Liz called them crying that it was unfair that Amy got to be free and live with Dave when she was a confessed shooter. She escalated, writing more emails that were supposedly from Amy, this time with details about Carrie's murder. From those emails, the sheriffs learned that Carrie had been stabbed and that it had taken place in her car. They had searched Carrie's car and only come up with that one fingerprint, so they combed the car again, this time for blood evidence. Nothing. So they pulled the fabric off the driver's seat. Nothing. So they pulled the fabric off the passenger seat. And underneath, on the foam, they saw big red stains. Liz was arrested for Carrie's murder, but there still wasn't a body, and the prosecutor wasn't sure they had an airtight case. The sheriffs went back through all of the hundreds of thousands of texts and emails to see if there was anything more they could use. They went back to Dave to see if he had any more information. And Dave checked his storage unit, where he found an old tablet that had a memory card in it. The card showed no files, but when the IT guy did some forensic digging into the deleted photos, he was able to recover 11,000 files. They were mostly selfies of Liz, and the IT guy realized that what he had was a microSD card from her phone. She had evidently stuck her memory card in Dave's tablet at some point. Amongst the many, many selfies of Liz was a photo of a foot with a tattoo. It was the same tattoo Carrie had on her foot, the Chinese symbol for mother. Her veins were visible and dark, which is something that happens post-mortem. At trial, the defense tried to argue that there's no proof a murder even happened, but that photo of the post-mortem foot and the blood evidence in Carrie's car said otherwise. Shanna Liz Golier was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole. Dave says he feels guilty that he brought Carrie into his life, but of course, he didn't know what would happen to her. He didn't know that he had invited in one of the most savagely jealous people the world has ever seen. This woman burned down her own house with all of her things inside. She shot herself. She killed her own pets. Stay safe out there, friends. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.